श्रृण्वता स्वकता कृष्णा पुण्यश्रवणकीर्तनः हृदयन्तस्तो हि अभद्राणि विधिनोति सुहृत्सतां नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवति उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। हरे कृष्ण। सो वी विल डिस्कस फर्स्ट कैंटो चैप्टर 5 वर्सेस 12 टू 22 टुडे। सो लास्ट वीक वी सॉ सो दिस चैप्टर इज टाइटल्ड श्री नारद देव इंस्ट्रक्शन to Srila Vyasadev on the Srimad Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam, what he has to do. So Narada's instructions on Srimad Bhagavatam. So last week we saw that Setu Madhav Prabhu was giving the class that Narada Muni was, Srila Vyasadev was despondent, and then Narada Muni was giving him instructions as to the reasons why he was despondent. So, in continuation along the same lines, that he has not dedicated a literature or written literature which is dedicated to the glorification of the Supreme Lord. So, continuing along the same lines, Narada Muni continues in these verses that what he should be doing to come out of his despondency or so basically what he has done so far is not, it's not that, it's not enough. So he has to write Srimad Bhagavatam. So that's what we will cover in these verses. So text 1.5.12. So we will recite together or we can. So we'll recite together. Naishkarmyam api achyuta bhava varjitam na shobhate jnanam alham niranjanam
kuta punah shashvata bhavanam ishvare
na charpitam karma
api abhaganam.
Translation: knowledge of self-realization, even though free from all material affinity, does not look well if devoid of a conception of the infallible God. What then is the use of fruitive activities, which are naturally painful from the very beginning and transient by nature, if they are not utilized for the devotional service of the Lord? So, in this text, Narada Muni is explaining, and Prabhupada gives in his purport, that knowledge of self-realization in the text. So the Vedic text actually mainly deals with Karma Kanda, and then there is a section of the Vedic text which also deals with Jnana Kanda. And basically it says both are, both are not enough. So the knowledge of self-realization, even though if it's, so Prabhupada writes in the purport that even though the sections of the Vedic literature which deals with the impersonal Brahman or the speculation of the impersonal Brahman, right, it's so first if you go back in the in 1.5.11, 1.5.10, so there Prabhupada criticizes the ordinary literatures, the mundane literatures which actually deals only with sense gratification or some phantom, some fictitious ideas and everything just for sense gratification. Prabhupada condemns those kind of literatures. And then the verses condemn those kind of literatures, and now it goes a step beyond and says that even the Vedic literatures which actually deals with fruitive activities and the knowledge of self-realization, but which does not deal with the glorification of the Supreme Lord, that is not a very good thing. Without including the glorification of the Supreme Lord, it is incomplete. So that is what Srila Narada Muni is saying. So Prabhupada writes in the purport that fruitive activity is, it's austerity. It's painful from the beginning and in the middle. It's completely painful. And on top of that, if one gets the result of those fruitive activities and entangles himself more again and again in reaction, then what is the point of this whole fruitive activity? And but there is only one place where fruitive activity can become useful, that is when you engage it in the service of the Lord. So why is fruitive activity very dangerous, and it's also deviating? Because one thinks that he is the enjoyer. From the results that we can get out of fruitive activities, one thinks that he is the enjoyer. And without understanding that the supreme enjoyer is the personality of Godhead, if he continues to engage in fruitive activities, then it's already painful, and then you get entangled more and more with the results by trying to enjoy the results of these activities. So that's what Narada Muni is condemning here, that fruitive activities is painful. On top of that, he also condemns the Vedic literature, which doesn't glorify the supreme personality of Godhead, but rather just talks about the speculation of the impersonal Brahman. So there is another verse also in the Bhagavatam which Srila Prabhupada quotes in his lecture. Nate vidu swartha gatim hi Vishnu. This is given in the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, where Prahlad Maharaj says that one doesn't know the real self-interest, which is Lord Vishnu. So people doesn't have such people doesn't have such better information. So basically, and he gives the information in the lecture that businessman works hard, there's economic development, he has to work so hard to make a lot of money, and then finally he doesn't even enjoy it properly, and he doesn't even rest in peace. There was actually one businessman actually met Srila Prabhupada, and I'm sure many of you would have heard this, and then he said, "Oh Prabhupada, I have this business, that business, but I'm not able to sleep peacefully at night. I have this headache, that headache, I have so many things." Prabhupada said, "Why don't you just give me the assets and you can go sleep peacefully?" But the person immediately got a little taken aback, and he said, "Okay Swamiji, I'll see you later." And then Prabhupada said, "Take this address." No, Prabhupada, I have your address, I can contact you. No, we have to contact you also. So give the address, like that. And then Prabhupada told his disciple who were there, he is so much suffering, but still he is pursuing the economic development. He is not ready to give it up. And that's so temporary and transient. So these are So Srila Prabhupada is saying that, because they don't have better information, that the ultimate goal is Vishnu, they are engaged in these temporary goals, which is making money or, accumulating assets like that. So that's the essence of this verse that I got from reading the purports. Of course, when the fruitive activities, they are utilized in the devotional service of the Lord, when the results are given in the devotional service of the Lord, then one doesn't become entangled and get materially bonded. So that's one Prabhupada writes in the Prabhupada. That's Karma Yoga, which we know actually from 3rd chapter of Bhagavad Gita. The results of the activities can be given. So when we give the result of activity, it means that we are actually even giving up the, it's not that every month there is automatic deduction. that is good, you know, we are giving some fruits of our hard-earned work, but it's also the consciousness. Ultimately, we are doing all these things to renounce the enjoying mentality, the mentality to be the enjoyer. So, the result of giving up the fruits of your fruitive activity is to give up the mentality that I am the enjoyer, but Krishna, you are the supreme enjoyer, like that. So let's read the next verse, 1.5.30. Oh Vyasadev, your vision is completely perfect. Your good fame is spotless. You are firm in verb and situated in truthfulness, and thus you can think of the pastimes of the Lord in trance for the liberation of the people in general from all material bondage. So, this verse, actually, now Narad Muni is giving some positive action item, or so far he has basically criticized, or rather chastised, Srila Vyasadeva for not compiling a literature which is focused on describing glories of the Supreme Lord. So you can see how actually here Narada Muni is encouraging and first, you know, glorifying his qualifications, and he'll also be describing what he has to do, right? I mean, generally in our material tendencies, we do that first part very correctly. We dismantle a person upon their mistake, or, you know, and the rest of it we forget, actually. But here Narada Muni, even though he criticizes the conception, that the idea that whatever Srila Vyasadeva has done so far in terms of writing the Vedic literature, that is not good enough. He, after giving that point, he actually glorifies him and encourages him to go on to the next step, like that. So here he tells the qualifications of Srila Vyasadeva, saying that your vision is completely perfect, you know, your good fame is spotless, you're situated in truth. You know, all these good qualities, basically all the first two lines of the verse actually talks about the qualities of Srila Vyasadeva, Amogadrik, Suchishrava, Satyarato, and then Dhritavrita. So all these are different exalted qualities of Srila Vyasadeva. And then he says, because you have these wonderful qualities, you can meditate on the Supreme Lord without any distractions. Because you are pure in heart, you can meditate on the Supreme Lord. And by meditating on the Supreme Lord, you can help others also, you know, to attain liberation, like that. So we'll see in more detail. So, again, so Prabhupada starts in the purport that there are so many mundane literatures all over the world. Thousands and thousands of mundane literatures are there. And ultimately, they give us, what they give us is sense gratification. And they also give us anxiety, because anything that has to do with mundane thing, ultimately it has to land up in anxiety, and that's how the material world works. So the mundane literatures, I mean, so many literatures, books, and then news, and this and that, everything is for satisfaction of the ego and the material senses. But ultimately what they do, they ultimately lead us to no peace and no tranquility. That's what happens. Thousands of literary. So Prabhupada says that people actually have a tendency to read. People have, you know, a taste for literature. But because they are so misdirected in reading so many different sets of literature which can be classified materially, you know, there are so many sections. If you go to any bookstore, right, there are so many sections materially classified, but all of them, they are spiritually vacuum. You know, they're full of vacuum, except that it's just chewing the chewed. It just contains material of chewing the chewed. So Prabhupada is saying it cannot bring about peace and tranquility of the world to the world, because it is spiritually vacuum like that. It only disturbs the mind. Nothing it does is it only agitates the mind. The mundane literature only agitates the mind. So Srila Prabhupada brings out the point that there is a great need for literatures like Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, which actually will satisfy the real hankering or the real desire of the soul, and which alone can bring about peace and tranquility in this material world. There are a few other points also we can see in this verse, which is compassion of Sri Narad Muni. So Narad Muni is giving this instruction so that he can benefit the whole world. Sri Vyasadeva is going to compile Srimad Bhagavatam, but because he is, you know, he knows that the fallen souls of the Kali Yuga are going to, you know, suffer immensely, because also Narad Muni, out of compassion, is advising Srila Vyasadeva to write Srimad Bhagavatam, which focuses exclusively on glorifying the Supreme Lord, so that people can attain peace and happiness in their life. And it also talks about Srila Vyasadeva and his representative being pure, right? So yeah, I'll delineate that in the next. And of course, Srila Prabhupada, you know, he had four tenets. One is books are the basis, right? It's so important for us to not read the mundane. Of course, it goes. If you read Prabhupada's books nicely, then automatically you'll have no time to read other mundane literature, or, you know, dwell over mundane things or mundane literature. But if we don't take it seriously, then obviously we have to be attracted by something else which will be mundane. And Prabhupada did say books are the basis, and he stressed so much importance to reading his books, to take shelter of the instruction given in Srimad Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, because that will only give us peace and tranquility. There is just, you know, without that, we have a tendency to read, we have a tendency to, you know, have a taste for literature by instinct, but without reading Srila Prabhupada's books, what else are we going to read? We will be diverted, or we will be deviated to reading other things. I mean, now it's an information, you know, informational, what is that, the age of information, or, you know, technological advancement, everything. Information is on your fingertips. But all the other information, it only destroy our peace and tranquility, and it'll only make us more and more depressed. That's why you see people, I mean, they hear the news and then they become very depressed, actually. But what is the way out? Way out of it is absorb ourselves in this transcendental literature, which will bring about happiness and, you know, peace. Of course, it's amazing. It's just, you know, reading, preparing for this whole lecture. I mean, whether I give a good lecture or not, that's a different thing. But, you know, reading the purports and reading the lecture. I mean, so I had that, the lectures transcribed of Srila Prabhupada. It's just so nectarian. You just absorb yourself in these things, and, you forget the whole world around around you. It's in like a spiritual. So it was amazing experience like that. So this is what Srila Prabhupada says. I read this quote in one of the emails that I received. You don't read in the first volume of Bhagavad, these things are explained, but I don't think you read all these things. Do you read? So if you don't read, then you will feel restless. That's the point. I don't think we have a choice. So let me go from Japan to India. I don't know who is he talking to, but let me go from Japan to India and from India to Japan. You're restless because you don't read. I'm laboring so hard for you, but you don't take advantage. Don't take advantage of eating and sleeping. Don't take advantage of these books. then your life will be successful. My duty, I have given you so valuable things day and night, trying to convince you each word to word. And if you don't take advantage of this, then what can I do for you? So we have to take advantage and reading Srila Prabhupada's books. And it's nectarian. It's actually, once you get into it, it's just, you know, it takes you to a different, I mean, you cannot get out of it. It's like that. And then Prabhupada later, he gives the example of hot sugar cane juice. You know, once you take it, I mean, the taste of being hot is a little uncomfortable, but you still cannot resist the sweetness of the sugar cane like that. But this is all nectarian. Srila Prabhupada's lecture and his purports and So let's we'll just deal in a little bit more on this verse. So Srila Vyasadeva, so the verse actually is one of the main description of the verse is it glorifies Srila Vyasadeva. It glorifies Srila Vyasadeva as Amoghadrik. Amogha means sinful. So Amogha is sinless, free of sin. Amoghadrik means one who is liberated. And Suchishrava means one who is pure at heart. And the Prabhupada says both the meanings. Actually, one is pure at heart, one who has received the things from the parampara. Basically, one has heard the pure message and also has taken it and has purified his heart like that. And Satyarata means one who is engaged in a matter of absolute truth. And he says not in the relative truth. One who engages in the matter of absolute truth, like that. Then Dhritavarta means one who is determined in the vows of devotional service, like that. So Narada Muni certifies Srila Vyasadeva that these are your qualities, right? He is glorifying him. These are your qualities, and so you are qualified to meditate on the Supreme Lord. You qualify to meditate in trance what is it, Sanskrit? The Sanskrit says, one second. Yeah, Samadhi Anushmara. So Samadhi. So basically you can meditate upon the Supreme Lord, on the transcendental pastimes of the Supreme Lord, because you're pure in heart. Of course, you're pure in thought, pure in words, which actually, you know, goes on to, pure in words and like that. So Narada Muni is certifying, you know, you are qualified to meditate on the Supreme Lord because you're pure in heart like that. And then when one is in such a platform of purity, then he can think about the welfare activities of everybody. Then he can have a clear vision of what welfare activities he can do. And in another purport also, I don't remember exactly what, but Srila Prabhupada says, you have to be at least in the mode of goodness if you want to do welfare activities. Because any activity that is done in the mode of passion or ignorance, it will end up in catastrophe or backfire. I mean, even though seemingly it may look like, or intention may look like that it is a, but if it is in the mode of passion or ignorance, it's not going to work. At least you have to be in the mode of goodness to clearly see things as they are before you do any welfare activity, right? Though that happens only in the mode of goodness. And of course, Prabhupada says in the lecture that, you know, unless one has clear vision, how he can do welfare activities? You don't even know who you are, then how you are going to do welfare activity? And so one's vision is clouded, like that. And so what is a clear vision? Clear vision is, again, he quotes the same verse, you know, Naate vidus swartha gatim hi Vishnu. One who is materialistic, he doesn't know the ultimate goal of life is Lord Vishnu. Right. If you don't have that vision, then how can you do welfare activities? Basically, you have to have a clear vision to do welfare activities. So here Narada Muni certifies that you are a spiritual master, actually. You are a spiritual master, so you can think about Krishna and also broadcast it to the whole world, like that. When I was, so Narada Muni certifies like this, I was, you know, remembering the first verse of నెక్టర్ ఆఫ్ ఇన్స్ట్రక్షన్, రైట్? వాచో వేగం, మనసక్రోధ వేగం, జువా వేగం, ఉత్తరోపస్థ వేగం, ఏతాన్ వేగం, శ్వేతధీర సర్వం అభిమాన్ ప్రతిబింబ శిష్యాత్. సో దే ఆర్ ఆల్సో ఇట్ ఇట్ గివ్స్ అ క్వాలిఫికేషన్ ఆఫ్ వన్ హూ క్యాన్ బి అ గురు, అ స్పిరిచువల్ మాస్టర్ ఇస్ వాచో వేగం, వన్ హూస్ కంట్రోల్ in his speech, and then Manasakro, the way who's tolerating the urges of the mind and the anger, and who's tolerating the urges of the stomach and the genitals, and Etan Vegan, Yovishayita Deiraha, and then one who's also tolerating the urges of the tongue in the terms of eating, he is, and Etan Vegan, Yovishayita Deiraha, one who's sober, tolerating all these urges. Sarvam Abhimam Prithivam, he is qualified to be Guru, and he is qualified to make disciples all over the world like that. So, like that purity. And then, so Narada Muni says, yes, you know, you are a spiritual master, you can deliver the whole world. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, E Krishna Tattva Veta Se Guru Hai, one who knows the Krishna's, you know, one who understands Krishna's pastimes and Krishna's basically the truth about Lord Sri Krishna, he is qualified to become the spiritual master like that. So what is the duty of the spiritual master? It's to liberate the conditioned souls. So Narada Muni is telling Vyasadeva, you know, you are qualified like this because you are pure at heart and you can meditate on the Supreme Lord, and similarly you can also broadcast it for the deliverance of the whole world. So this actually, this is just a few more lines explaining Urukramas Akila. These are all the different, the last two lines of the Sanskrit verse. So Urukramasya means Srila Prabhupada called, he gives the breakdown. Uru means great and Krama means activities. You know, great, uncommon activities, Srila Prabhupada says. So uncommon activities is activities of the Supreme Lord. Urukrama is, of course, another name of Krishna. And then, so it refers to Lord Krishna, the activities of Lord Krishna which are uncommon. And, you know, examples are like Vamanadeva and how he takes the three steps and then he just covers the whole world, and Krishna, you know, lifting over the hill like that. So, Urukramasya, of whose activities? So, Narada Muni is advising, you describe the activities of the Supreme Lord. And for what? You know, and for what? Akila Bandaya Muktaye. Not just for one's own benefit, but to benefit the whole world. Like that. And of course, there is a parallel also. This is the same, it's the same thing. Janma Karma Chame Divyam. Evam Yo Veti Tattvatha Tyakta Deham Punar Janma Naiti Mame Iti So Arjuna. So Krishna says, you know, if somebody truly understands Krishna's activities, janma karma, you know, his birth, pastimes and activities, then punarjanmana vidya, you know, tektva deham punarjanma naiti mamayati so arjuna. So he comes back to me, he doesn't come back to this material world like that. Yeah, so anusmarat tad vishe sitita means, remembering tad visheshada means remembering the Lord's pastimes, uncommon activities, like that. So here is another same. Akilasya bandasya muktaye tam anushmara smrita varnyata. This is actually, I think he's quoting from Sridhar Swami. And then Prabhupada says that in the lecture, not only you meditate, but you preach. That will help your meditation. So then he goes on to say, one who is preaching, he is also in samadhi because he is thinking of Krishna. Otherwise, how can he talk of Krishna? Right? This is even in the second chapter, of the first canto also, Srila Prabhupada says in the purport that, you know, we should do preaching or we should talk about Krishna to others. Because when you are reading, you can actually read and then your mind can be somewhere, or you can read. You may not put the total focus, especially if you are reading alone. But when you are talking, you have to think and talk. You cannot just talk space in a completely spaced out way, right? You have to really, really, absorb yourself in Krishna and think about Krishna, and then only you can talk about Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada is saying that actually talking about Krishna means thinking about Krishna. You are. So he is, and then he says, otherwise how he can talk of Krishna if he does not think of Krishna? Sri Swami says, tam anushmare smritya varnyata. Varnyata means describe, also preach, like that way. That's why, that's what Narada Muni is also advising Srila Vyasadeva, that you meditate on Krishna, on his pastimes, and then you write it down, right? And Srimad Bhagavatam, which is basically preaching. Here is a, of course you know all this quote, Prabhupada continues in the same lecture. Bharata Bhumite Hele Manishya Janmaya Janma Sartaka Kari Karo Paropakar. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, anyone who has taken birth on this land, Bharatarusha, just become yourself liberated and then make others liberated. The same lecture he, in the same sections of lecture he gives another, just like Narada Rishi is giving us good lecture, good literature, he is instructing Vyasadeva, give this literature to the people. We are taking advantage of Srimad Bhagavatam. And then he's asking, are we not debtor? We go to school, college and pay so much fees to the teacher. Are we not debtor to Vyasadeva and Narad? But we don't care for it. So, if you become Krishna conscious, naturally you will try to propagate the teaching of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. That means you are paying. You have learned something from them and you are distributing knowledge. That was their mission. If you keep it for yourself, then you are simply debtor. You are not paying. Like that. So Prabhupada is encouraging us to give, you know, of course he also emphasizes working on ourselves and at the same time also distributing the knowledge to preach Krishna consciousness. Of course preaching itself doesn't mean that you have a formal program and give a class or anything. Preaching in different ways. Preaching by example, preaching by culture. So there are different ways of preaching also. So let's look at the next verse.
ततो अन्यता किंचना
Right, so whatever you desire to describe that is separate in vision from the Lord simply reacts with different forms, names and results to agitate the mind as the wind agitates the board which has no resting place. So basically he is talking about whatever Srila Vyasadeva has compiled so far. So far he has compiled all the Vedic literatures, you know, and so he has given all different forms of self-realization, you know, different methodologies of self-realization. And then the whole section of Karma Kanda, and then there is so many different sacrifices, so many different demigods, so many different worships, and all these, just this huge load of information that Narada Muni is concluding that all you have given, just all it does is agitates the mind as a boat which has no resting place, which doesn't have an anchor, or which is not in a harbor. If it's just in the ocean, it just gets swept away by the wind. Like that, whatever information you have given, if for some few of them are fortunate, they will get the essence of it, but most of them will be totally confused and they'll be just going from one to another and another to this, and they'll be totally agitated because they don't have a fixed goal. You have given them so many instructions and like so many, and Prabhupada writes in the purport actually that pantheism is you know, it leads to does not lead to the fixed determination on the object of worship. Pantheism means the demigod worship. It doesn't lead to the fixed determination of, you know, fixed determination on the object of worship. Basically, it agitates the mind rather than, giving us the goal or the object of worship, giving us the ultimate goal, which is Krishna, or devotional service to Krishna. So, yeah, so this is what Prabhupada describes in the purport, disturbed in finding the real path of self-realization. Basically, there are so many activities, fruitive activities, karma kanda section, and then jnana kanda, and then there is a little bit of bhakti, so there is mystic power, there is this, that, and then there is
You know, so recommendation, so so many demigods, so many sacrifices like that, all these things are, it is not going to help us to fix our mind on the devotional service to Krishna. Only few people actually will get the essence of all these information and come to the point of, and that will also be very gradual, like that. And Srila Prabhupada, you know, he talks that just like if you're on a ship in the ocean and it's being tossed by heaven, you cannot sit very nicely. And he talks about his own experience. You know, when I was coming in Jalodhara, the ship was getting tossed here and there, and it doesn't make us, you know, being comfortable. So similarly, giving them so many things, ultimately they'll be confused. They won't have any sense of direction or any sense of purpose to devotional service on the Supreme Lord like that. And he gives an example of Mahabharata also. Vyasadeva can say, well, I have described the activities of the Supreme, described the glories of the Supreme Lord, and also given the instructions of the Supreme Lord in Mahabharata, right, in literature like Mahabharata and everything. Then Prabhupada explains in his one in his lecture that Mahabharata does contain Bhagavad Gita, which is the summum bonum of Mahabharata, which people, it ultimately has to lead to the conclusion to Bhagavad Gita. That is the purpose of Mahabharata. But Mahabharata has so many other sections also, like political subject, and then economic, and then sociology, and then this and that. There are so many subjects, and philanthropic, and all these different subjects. Then ultimately people miss out on the essence, which is the Bhagavad Gita. And then they go on all other subjects and try to, they make Karna philanthropy, you know. And then they make Ashwata, and what is the name? Not Ashwatthama. One who cuts his thumb. Eklavya. They make Eklavya, you know, who's Guru. Finally, they leave out all the essence of Mahabharata, which is Krishna and Bhagavad Gita, you know. It has to talk about Krishna. And we have to listen, come to the, listening to the instructions of Bhagavad Gita, but they forget all those things. They go on, and nowadays Kali Yuga, it's so rampant that they make Duryodhana the hero and Karna the greatest philanthropist, and that's the whole, I mean, they've completely, taken, so that's what Sri Prabhupada also says in the lecture, that there are so many things other than, Bhagavad Gita in Mahabharata, like politics and political science and sociology and military and philanthropy, like this, that people will be very easily confused by all these. So you've given just this whole broad things, but people will just miss the essence and just go for all the secondary things like that. So this is not going to help, actually. So Mahabharata also doesn't help in that sense. So Prabhupada is saying that There are politics, sociality, interests, and so many nonsense things in yoga given Bhagavad Gita a little portion. That's all right, but that is not very helpful. Like that, because the focus, the people lose the focus on the essence like that. So this is again the impetus to actually write Srimad Bhagavatam exclusively glorifying the Supreme Lord and his devotional activities. Like that. And of course, we know that verse. Vyavasayatmika buddhir ek kuru nandana bahu shaka hi anantasya mudhyavasayanam. Those who are on this path are resolute in purpose because their aim is one. O beloved child of Kuru, the intelligence of those who are irresolute is many branched. So this is our condition actually, because we are, and this is what Narada Muni is predicting, that this is what your Vedic literature is going to do. That it's going to create people of intelligence with irresolute determination, basically, or many branched, intelligence with many branched. So let's read the next verse. Svabhavaraktasya mahamithi kramaha yadvakyodharam matitamastata namanyate. The people in general are naturally inclined to enjoy, and you have encouraged them in that way in the name of religion. this is verily condemned and is quite unreasonable. Because they are guided under your instructions, they will accept such activities in the name of religion and will hardly care for prohibitions. Right? I mean, you don't have to tell, I mean, anybody, there is no school to teach people how to enjoy. Right? It all comes naturally, right? To eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, all these things, this naturally comes. And on top of that, you are giving them sanction, you know, under the hood, in the name of religion, you are giving them sanction that they can do all these things. This is quite unreasonable. That's what Narada Muni is telling to Srila Vyasadeva. Right? Very, you know, strong and, you know, very, very powerful instructions. I mean, in fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada also writes in the Prabhupada, there are also accidents on the royal road, right? And I think 435 or 436, where Krishna says that it is, one should not come under the stumbling blocks of attachment and aversion. There will be obstacles on the path of devotional life or spiritual life. So there in the Prabhupada writes, actually Vedas, they allow leeway, you know, the Vedas, there are injunctions where there can be regulated sense enjoyment, but that is also dangerous because there are also accidents on the royal road like that. That can also take us away from devotional life. This is Narada Muni. Narada Muni is, you know, such, you can see, I mean, Narada Muni, he goes to, you know, what is the name? Hariyashwas, right? Daksha's 10,000 sons. He goes and gets to the business directly. Daksha sends them to actually, you know, meditate on Lord Vishnu. So they can become, you know, good progenitors or they can populate the world. But Narada Muni goes and, you know, forget about all these things. And then just ask them to. So we have to be very careful. Spiritual life is a double-edged sword. So we have to be very, very careful. That's why there is a guidance required at every step. And by reading and Srila Prabhupada, we can see that. And Srila Prabhupada was also in this mood. And I heard once in a lecture that actually Prabhupada came to the Western world to create sannyasis or to create a body of sannyasis that can. So he was very, very focused, you know, in those lines. Prabhupada also explains so beautifully in this purport, like this. We'll go over the different sections. So we have the natural inclination to lord it over, you know. Nobody has to teach us this. It just comes very naturally to us to lord it over, to search for material happiness, go after material happiness very spontaneously. It comes to us. no sadhana effort required there. And Prabhupada writes in the purport, this is not the purpose of the human life. The purpose of the human life is to attain the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, or to attain the devotion to the Supreme Lord, or the devotional service to the Supreme Lord. That is the purpose of the human life. And human life is so rare, as later in the 11th canto itself it says, human life is so rare. And so the purpose of the human life is devotional service. But what Vyasadeva has done, that he has given this sense enjoyment in the name of religiosity. Now people, already they are not interested to give up sense enjoyment, and then you are giving them this concession like this. Now nobody will listen to any authority, and they will forget the whole principle of why in the Vedas it is given like this. The whole purpose of such description in the Vedas is regulation and restriction and ultimately renunciation. But then Narada Muni, foreseeing the condition of the Kali Yuga, and Prabhupada writes in the purport that he foreseeing, especially is in the case of sacrificing animals. So, that is the reason why Lord Buddha appears. So, in the name of taking the Vedas, what they do, in the name of following the instruction of the Vedas, they went or rampant on killing animals for meat eating or for sacrifices, for material benefit like that. But what? In the name of religious activity. So they completely misconstrued the Vedic injunction, right? They completely misconstrued the Vedic injunction and went on a rampage of killing the animals. So that's why Lord Buddha had to appear to stop that rampant killing like that. So this is how people will, people will misconstrue things and they will totally leave the goal of why it is there. The goal is to ultimately help people to renounce, but rather they will use it for their own sense enjoyment, like that. Yeah, one second, I'm just... And again, Mahabharata also similarly, you know, even though it's the same point, you know, even though all the sections are given and Bhagavad Gita is there in Mahabharata, but they completely lose that particular point. And this compromising spirit is condemned by Narad Muni. So, no compromise with Maya. No room for Maya. I mean, that's how we have to be. Otherwise, we all have the experience. We know that this is what has to be done, but we still, you know, we are relaxed. We shake hands with Maya and we allow her a great, we allow her so much space. Ultimately, it's no compromising attitude. No compromising attitude doesn't mean that you become like a jingoistic leader or a military leader. No compromising attitude means like Haridas Thakur. When Maya Devi herself came before Haridas Thakur to entice him, then he just said, very humbly said, you know, let me just finish my rounds and then I'll come and try to satisfy you. Because anger itself is an agent of Maya like that. But Haridas Thakur showed us how to deal with Maya. Just stay there, I'll get to you. Once I finish my business. And so we have to have enough business in Krishna consciousness that it fills our day. So we just keep saying to Maya, oh, please wait there, please wait there. I'll come to you, like that. That's the way we remain aloof from Maya, but totally and completely engaging in Krishna consciousness like that. You cannot fight Maya because Maya is too powerful, but rather we humble ourselves and we take shelter of Krishna like that. So this compromising spirit is condemned by Narada Muni here. Jai Narada Muni. So Prabhupada gives example, patient and physician. You know, patient, he may be restricted from eating certain eatables. So physician cannot say, oh, you can allow, you know, okay, you take a little bit of this, but don't take so much of this. So physician has to be very strict. No, you cannot take certain eatables. So physician has to be very strict. So Srila Prabhupada compares this example, the spiritual authority or the spiritual mother saying that. And of course, it's not that, it's different moods actually. You can appreciate, you know, Narada Muni's mood like this. It's not that the Vedic literatures are bad or, you know, they had to be thrown away, but you can appreciate in a higher sense, you know, the urgency and the similarly how Prabhupada also exhibited such urgency actually. So Prabhupada also exhibited a mood of urgency for people to quickly become Krishna conscious. So it's a mood of urgency that Prabhupada is actually, you know, because when you take the Vedic path of Vedic literature, it's going to take, you know, millions and millions of lifetimes to gradually purify and come and slowly on top of that in Kali Yuga, everybody is misconstruing everything for, you know. So giving the aspect of urgency, the importance, Narada Muni is giving the instruction to, and that's how Srila Prabhupada was also, he used to urge people to take the Krishna consciousness and become successful as soon as possible in this lifetime, pretty much like that. Yeah, so that's pretty, yes, Prabhu. You had, should we take questions later? Or?
I'll ask
later. Later, okay. So that's the verse 1.5.15. So Narada Muni also says that, you know, given these Vedic literature, which has allowed, you know, material pleasure and allowed them to use this garb of
religiosity, you know, for sense gratification, but this was not your intention. But this will be the result. Even though that was not the intention of Vyasadeva, Vyasadeva wrote all the Vedic literature not for people to get entangled more and more. But the result will be exactly opposite to your intention. So this is not your intention, but this will be the result. So he is again encouraging Srila Vyasadeva to write Srimad Bhagavatam. So let's read 1.5.16. The Supreme Lord is unlimited. Only a very expert personality retired from the activities of material happiness reserves to understand the knowledge of spiritual values. Therefore, those who are not so well situated due to material attachment should be shown ways of transcendental realization by your goodness through description of the transcendental activities of the Supreme Lord. So, here in this verse, Srila Narada Muni is saying that, you know, theological subject is very difficult to understand. Of course, we know that verse, Manishyanam Sahasreshu, Kashchidete Siddhaye, Satamapi Siddhanam, Kashyan Mahamveti, Tattvataha. You know, out of so many thousands among men, only few hardly end up for perfection, and out of those thousands among, out of many, two end up for perfection, hardly one knows me in truth, Krishna says. So this subject is very, very difficult to understand. Right? And it can be understood only by people who are retired from the activities of material happiness. So he is again glorifying Srila Vyasadeva that since you are retired from all the activities of material happiness, since you are pure heart, you can very easily understand all these subjects. And not just stop there, but you have to, that's what says in the verse, right? Therefore, those who do not do so well situated due to material attachment should be shown the way of transcendental realization by your goodness through description of the transcendental activities of the Supreme Lord. So, first, by understanding the topics of the Supreme Lord, you can give it to the others. You can give it to others who can then understand this tough subject actually. So, then one may ask if one is... the verse kind of contradicts. If one is not, to understand the transcendental science, you have to be detached from material, activities or material happiness. But then what about the people who are actually, the majority of the population of the people are engaged in sense gratification. And so Prabhupada gives the example that it acts like medicine. Whether they know the effect or not, or what the medicine, they have the knowledge of what the medicine does, but still the medicine acts. And then Srila Prabhupada actually puts the responsibility on the shoulders of the devotees or the parampara. Basically, he says the expert devotees can discover novel ways. The expert devotees can discover novel ways to somehow inject this message of Srimad Bhagavatam into the dull brains of materialistic people. And then he says this expertise is coming right from the disciples of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who has been so expert in somehow finding novel ways and finding creative ways to somehow inject this message of Sri Madhava into dull brains of the materialistic society like that. So it acts like a medicine, but the onus is on the devotees or the people following the line of parampara to somehow give it to the general people in general, like that. And of course, Srila Prabhupada himself showed it, how expert he was, in propagating this Krishna consciousness movement. And there are so many his followers, and there are so many devotees who actually try to, give this message
I mean, perfect, learn it themselves and trying to perfect themselves at the same time, trying to give this message in a novel, in normal ways, in very attractive ways, so that they can easily take up to this Krishna consciousness. So once they take up this Krishna consciousness, they act like medicine, and then it slowly purifies one and helps them to become Krishna conscious also. Like that. Yeah, and that's what Harilas Prabhu also is trying to do, always trying to see normal ways to somehow get this, you know, into the people's mind like that. And many Prabhupada disciples are like that. They try to find normal ways to get to people's head. Yeah, Hanumat Pariksha Maharaj, Yendurama Maharaj, Radhanand Maharaj, I mean, many, a lot of them, so many of them. So let's read the next verse. Tyaktva sodharmam charanamujam harer bhajan api yatrakva brahmam kovarta apuru patatam svatranadaha. So one who has forsaken his material occupation to engage in the devotional service of the Lord may sometimes fall down while in an immature stage, yet there is no danger of his being unsuccessful. On the other hand, a non-devotee, though fully engaged in occupational duties, does not gain anything. Yeah. This again, you know, very strong statement, but that actually Narada Muni is continuing in this list of verses, he is continuing to minimize materialistic life, and he is continuing to glorify the importance of devotional service. That's why you find all these verses, you know, they pretty much say the same thing in the sense in different ways. So, of course, this is a very famous verse. We have read it in Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada quotes this many, many times in his lectures, very famous verse. So, one who has forsaken his material occupation to engage in devotional activities. And one may forsake and then become successful in devotional service, and that's perfectly fine. Even if he is not successful, even if he is there only for something, Narada Muni is saying that's much better. I mean, it's unbelievable. What? Only Narada Muni can make such. Even if, you know, he is much better than a person who actually is so perfect in his occupational duty, but is a non-devotee, right? It's because person who has done his occupational duty perfectly, but is a non-devotee, all he gets is pious credits, you know, for the way he has done his, and so he still is going to go around in the realm of material creation. But the person, even if he's so unsuccessful he's very, very in occupational duty, he's not doing it properly, he's forsaken. Here Narada Muni is saying he's forsaken and spiritual life he's taken up, but that also is, Narada Muni doesn't say he has to become successful. No, only has forsaken material duties, he has to become successful in spiritual life. And this is pretty much the same question. I mean, he says even that is a failure, you know, even for just few days or few months or few years. But see, that is, you know, he is much better than person who's talks about the potency of devotion. So the same thing what Arjuna asks in the Bhagavad Gita, you know, Arjuna asks the same question, you know, I mean, you're telling, you know, material, spiritual life and talking about mind and everything is so difficult to practice spiritual life. What if one forsakes material thing and then goes to spiritual, and there also he's gone the material thing also, so both realms he's gone. He's like a cloud driven by the wind, you know, where there's no place anywhere. Like that. Krishna says, no, that's not the case. Because whatever we have done in spiritual life it's never going to go away. It's never going to go away. And here Narada Muni is just going a step forward and forget about, you know, perfection. It's non-devotee, comparison to spiritual thing, that's nothing like that. So, Prabhupada says in the lecture that actually, you have to be punished if you forsake material duties. That is the law of nature. I mean, it's not about the, of course, you will be punished immediately because you won't have money or food or whatever, but and by the nature's law, you will have to be punished. Like for example, Kshatriya, he gives the example of a Kshatriya. Kshatriya fights in the battlefield and he dies. And then he goes to heaven. But the Kshatriya, same Kshatriya, he dies running out of fear of the battle. He has to go to hell. Right? And then he Prabhupada gives the example of Brahmana also. A Brahmana, if he doesn't do the duties of a Brahmana, which is his occupational duties, then he'll be born as a Shudra in his next life. Because he is disregarded his duties, because he has to, he will be punished because of having forsaken the material duties. And here is a quote. Which one? Suppose next life a Brahmana falls down, he takes to Krishna consciousness. Neither he executes the Brahmanical duties, nor he could prosecute Krishna consciousness to perfection. Narmani says there is no loss. Now if the Brahmana not by executing his prescribed duties, he becomes Shudra next life, he takes a burden in a Shudra family or lower than Shudra family. So Narmani says, what is the loss that because Krishna consciousness is so nice that it will not leave the person who has taken to Krishna consciousness, it will revive even in the lower status of life. And Prabhupada gives the example of all his Western disciples. He's sitting in the lecture and he's giving, no, all of you boys and girls, you know, what the situation you're born into is not, you know, it's not a great, the according to Vedic tradition, it's actually, it's not a very congenial situation. It's a very, it's meat eating civilization, you're born into such kind of this thing, but says because all of you have done something relating to spiritual life in your previous life, all of you just came running to me when I came here, you know, in Krishna consciousness. So Srila Prabhupada is basically stressing the point that even if you, you know, you're not so perfect in your occupational duties, or even if somebody has forsaken it, but if he has developed Krishna consciousness, there's no loss, because even if your material status goes down, but still you will be not remembering the devotional life like that. And of course Krishna also says the thing, yoga brashta vijayate. So he says there is no, you know, there is no loss in the 6th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says that. And then so that's the Prabhupada gives the example of Maharaj Bharat, and then Chitraketu and Ajamila, like that. Even some of them, of course, Ajamila forsake is this thing, he was not even, but still, because previously he was a devotee, Ajamila got the opportunity to again become a devotee. And then he gives the example of Maharaj Bharat. Even though he fell down, still Krishna actually protected him. Even though his the material status went down, but still Krishna protected him. And the same case with Chitraketu, he actually became a demon, but still Krishna protected him. Even though his material status was low, but still Krishna protected his devotional life. Krishna still protected his devotional life like that. So that's why Narada Muni makes this statement actually. That, Yogakshema Mahamayam. Yes. And then of course we know this verse, name. Neham Brikkama Nastosti Pratyabhayo Navidyate Svalpamapi Asya Dharmasya Trayate Mahatobhaya. In this endeavor there is no loss or diminution. The little advancement on this path can protect one from most dangerous type of fear. That is the beauty of devotional service. Like that. Yeah, we will read the beautiful verses actually. Let's read the next verse. Tasaiva hetu prate tapo vidho nalabhyate anatam parivartate tallabhyate bhavatanyatratam kame sarvatra. So persons who are actually intelligent and philosophically inclined should endeavor only for the kovido, means intelligent or philosophically inclined, should endeavor only for the purpose full end, which is not obtainable even by wandering from the topmost planet Brahmaloka down to the lowest planet Patala. As far as happiness derived from sense enjoyment is concerned, it can be obtained automatically in course of time. Just as in course of time we obtain miseries, even though we do not desire them. Right? So basically Narada Muni continues. He says that intelligent person should strive for what's not available in the 14 planetary system, which is Krishna Bhakti. Of course, for us it's Krishna Bhakti and devotional service. And then he says, as far as happiness derived from sense enjoyment can be, it is obtained automatically. You don't have to endeavor it separately. Nobody endeavors for distress, but they get it anyway. So similarly, happiness also we get automatically according to our karma. Like that. So then Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport that why one should work for material happiness. One should not focus their life for material happiness, right? That is available to anybody. There are various programs for sense enjoyment, right? Right from the, there is all the 14 planetary system, there are so many programs, but the essence is the same. It is sense enjoyment, or it is the high standards may be high, but it's the same thing, defending, eating, sleeping and mating. It's the same principle, but the standards may be high, going depending on the different positions of the planetary system like that. So there are so many various programs for sense enjoyment, but according to one's karma, daiva netrena, so according to one karma, it's all already fixed up. You know what, it's all written in prarabdha karma, how much you have to get, you know, how much happiness you will have in your life and how much distress in your happiness. So one should not focus his life in going after material happiness. In going after material happiness, which is anyway going to come, you know, when it's due. Right? And the same thing as Krishna says, Matra Svashashtu Kaunte, Sitoshina Dukkha Dukkada, Agama Payano Nitya, Stamtitiksha Bharata. As the summer and winter season, so similarly happiness and distress come and go in the cycle. So why to endeavor separately for this material happiness, which is anyway going to come according to one's own karma, like how distress comes uninvited. So my happiness will also be there. So rather than focusing on, and it comes to animals also, it comes to every living entity, you know, so why should we focus on getting material happiness? Rather, we should focus on a higher goal, which is attaining Krishna, right, or attaining liberation. So intelligence should endeavor for what is eternal, like that. And why is that? So because is even the what is considered to be material happiness, it is not really happiness, right? As we know from what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Dukkhaliyam Asashvatam, it's a place of full of miseries. So material happiness is not really happiness. It's only, there is only one thing in this world. There's no duality. There's only suffering. That's what they said, there's no good. There is no good in the material world. There's only, so that's what Chaitanya Charitamrita also says, Dvaite Padra Badra Sakali Samana. You know, Dvaite means this duality. Badra Badra, no? Same and different, you know, this is, so we said this is good, this is bad, like that. So, but it's the same thing, which is total dukkhalyam asashvatam, which is suffering, basically. So why one should endeavor for this cheap material happiness, which is anyway going to come according to one's karma, and which is not even considered as happiness. It is considered to be suffering, like that. So how to... So this is what Srila Prabhupada says in all the lectures. He says, so Bhagavad Gita says, don't bother yourself to make yourself happy by working day and night without trying Krishna consciousness. I think I have the next slide. Yeah, so don't bother yourself to make yourself happy by working day and night without trying for Krishna consciousness. This is simply waste of time. There is no question of happiness in this material world. If you actually want to be happy, Anandamaya Vyasa, if you want to be placed in real happiness, that is Krishna consciousness. So that's what Srila Prabhupada says, that there is no happiness in this material world. So one should try rather for material happiness, which is also temporary. We should try for more eternal things. So let's read the next verse. Okay.
मुकुंद सेन्याम अंगसम विहतुं निचेन नरसग्रहो जना. Then Narada Muni continues, my dear Vyasa, even though a devotee of Lord Krishna sometimes falls down, somehow or other, he certainly does not undergo material existence like others. Because a person who has once relished the taste of the lotus feet of the Lord can do nothing but remember that ecstasy again and again. Another very wonderful verse. So, first of all, a devotee can never be equated to a karmi, right? A karmi is under the laws of the material nature, but a devotee is under the jurisdiction of the Supreme Lord directly. So, Prabhupada compares example to like an orphan and a king's child. An orphan may be suffering, but his suffering is totally different from the suffering of a king's child. So king's child may be suffering because his father has punished him to rectify him, or you know, but his suffering is different from an orphan's suffering. So that is the difference between a suffering of a karmi and a suffering of a devotee. As before, devotee may suffer, that's maybe because Krishna may put some situations for the devotee in which the devotee has to be purified, or you know, it shows the devotee's glorification like that. But so a devotee and a karmi can never be equated like that, because the verse says even though a devotee sometimes falls down, somehow or other, he certainly does not undergo the material existence like other fruitive workers. So even if a devotee falls down from the path of devotional life, he doesn't undergo existence like a karmi like that, because the Lord, Supreme Lord, is actually taking direct charge of the devotee. So, yeah, devotee is reformed by the chastisement directed by the Lord Himself. Now, a devotee, of course, a devotee can fall due to different reasons. Like, again, Prabhupada gives the example of Bilva Mangala Thakur, or there are so many devotees who in the history, right, who have. But still, there is no loss for them, because they cannot forget the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. So once you take, so Krishna consciousness is like a one-way ticket, right? You do some service to Krishna and then you chant Hare Krishna and then you think that that's enough. But I mean, even we may forget Krishna, but Krishna is not going to forget you. That is Krishna's mercy upon us, right? So a devotee can never be equated to karmi. And of course there are many I think one more slide, which, yeah, so sometimes how the devotee falls. So Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport that sometimes a neophyte devotee thinks that we have the tendency to lord it over, so we sometimes exchange devotional service for some power or some wealth or some material things, so we exchange like that. But still, once one has gotten a taste for Krishna consciousness, he can never let that go. He can never let that go. And Prabhupada continues to explain that devotee is rasagraha, uninterested in material enjoyment. But actually, a neophyte devotee, of course, he falls down, but a perfected devotee is unattached to the material enjoyment. And he says that is the sign of advancement. That is the sign of advancement. Again, he gives example of hot sugar cane juice. You know, that is the kind of the devotional life. And that's how Krishna also inspires us. Krishna inspires us by giving a taste and then leaving it. That's what he did with Narada Muni. Actually, he appears. Narada Muni is meditating and he appears in his heart. And then he disappears. And then Narada Muni is frantically searching, you know, where can I find the Supreme Lord again? Then Supreme Lord speaks to him and says, actually, I have shown a form to you just to, you know, encourage you on the path of devotional life.
So that I just appeared before you and gave you a taste for devotional life. But you're not qualified to actually see me. So you continue performing the devotional life. And then when you become qualified by the end of this life, then you'll be able to eternally associate with me like that. So Krishna also, he also does that. He, to inspire us, he gives a taste, like samplers. You know, this is Krishna consciousness. He gives a taste for, he gives a higher taste. Then he actually becomes, he disappears. So that we can then work on our own purification. We have the encouragement to, like that. Once I was talking with, you know, Govind Prabhu, this was way back in 2005, before my marriage. So I was asking him, you know, Prabhuji, I'm going to get married in a few months. You know, but I have a great desire to preach and everything. So what will happen like that? Because it was a very neophyte, you know, very insecure mentality like that. And then Govind Prabhu said, don't worry. It's like a tiger tasting the blood of a human. Preaching, taste of preaching is like tiger tasting the blood of a human. Once it tastes the blood of a human, a tiger can never let go of that taste for the blood of the human. So similarly, once you got the taste for, I mean, basically you are asking all this. We had so many confusions, all a group of bachelors, you know, here who are all now married, but you know, whether we should have kids, if kids are there, you'll be able to preach or this or that, you know, what will be the responsibility? Like that, so much of fear, and because that's also because of taste. But then going through, so once you have the higher taste, then you can never let go of it. It's like tiger actually tasting the blood of a human. So once we get a higher taste in Krishna consciousness, even though you are just slammed by the Maya or you're just fallen down like anything, and you know, you don't have any association, you know, for time being, you don't have any interest, or you're just resisting to surrender to Krishna, or whatever may be the case, but ultimately you will have to come back to Krishna consciousness, because it's just impossible. And Radha Krishna Prabhu also telling one example. He said one person was trying so hard, he had left Krishna consciousness, but his life is even more miserable after leaving from Krishna consciousness, because he knows all this philosophy and everything, and he goes for sense gratification and he's feeling miserable, you know. Because knowledge is powerful, actually, you know, you better to be, you know, the only two persons in, Prabhupada says, right, only two persons in bliss, one in total ignorance and one who's pure devotee. Rest in between all is like, they get slammed again and again. And, but that is the beauty of Krishna consciousness, because Krishna actually, it is mercy. It's mercy to give us the taste in devotional life. Once we get the taste in devotional life, there's just no way, you can live devotional life. Even if you try hard, it will just make your life so and so miserable. And of course, we know so many examples, like one devotee wanted to go out of the temple, and then he went into the, you know, he wants to go, he wanted, you know, he had enough of Krishna consciousness, and then he went. And even if you try to forget, Krishna will not forget you. So it's all sealed, actually. And this devotee actually goes from the temple, and he wanted to leave the temple and then go, and then he wanted to go back to his old habits, which is surfing. You know, the moment he goes into the ocean, his whole life he never, you know, he has seen the shark, but then suddenly the shark comes and then starts circling him. You know, so this is Krishna's mercy, actually. This is Krishna's mercy. And then he gets all, you know, he gets... He plays Narsingadev, he gives whole Mangalarti program like that, finishes. But finally he surrenders to Krishna. Krishna, I'm sorry, you know, I'll come back. I'll surrender to your will, like that. So even if you, you know, try to run away, first of all, you, even yourself, one who has got the taste or realization, he cannot get away. It's just impossible to get away. But even if one, you know, even if one doesn't have that, one doesn't have, not experienced that much taste, Krishna will not leave him. Krishna will not leave him. So that's the mercy of the Supreme Lord, like that. And I don't remember exactly, but there's so many stories like this. Devotees just going away, but then they get this huge disease or some big incident, and then they come right back into devotional life. And there was one devotee who wanted to go away from Krishna consciousness, and the next day he was flying out to somewhere, to some city, and then he's just moving, I'm going to, you know, totally go away from Krishna consciousness like that. But the whole day, I mean, he meets a book distributor in the airport. And then he goes in a cab, and then he hears the Hare Krishna, you know, my sweet Lord, this thing. And everywhere he goes, like, he gets reminded of Krishna. Like that. So we can never get away from Krishna. That's really Krishna's mercy upon us. In the same way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Kala Krishna Das, right? He goes away from Mahaprabhu. You know, when Mahaprabhu actually goes running after him and then catches him by his hair, you know, and drags him back to the association of devotees like that. So Krishna will never leave us, even if we try to forget Krishna. Krishna will never leave us. It's a magnanimous, and that's what Prabhupada also will say. He says, one who has chanted Hare Krishna, he cannot give it up. Cannot give it up. He has to come again, this life or next life. Krishna will not leave. Krishna, once surrender sincerely, Krishna, I am yours. Krishna will never leave him. He will protect you. Of course, that is Krishna's protection. That's Krishna's protection. Like a foolish child, we sometimes go away from Krishna, but Krishna brings us back, like a very kind father, like that. Of course, we know these verses, you know, Api Ched, Sudracharo, Bhajate Mam Ananya Bhak, Shadure Evasam Mantavya, Samaya. So even if one commits the most abominable action, if he is engaged in devotional life, he is to be considered saintly because he is properly situated in his determination. He has to be considered saintly, Krishna says. Even if he, because Maya is very strong. Maya is very strong. And Prabhupada says, neophyte devotees, there is every chance that neophyte devotees will, you know, buckle to the attack of Maya because he is not so mature in his devotional life. But Krishna says, he is my devotee. It doesn't matter. Because he is properly situated in my determination. And because he quickly becomes righteous and attains lasting peace. So Son of Kunti declared boldly, my devotee never perishes. Like that. Should I stop here and ask him to verse? Okay. Okay, I'll read the translation. I mean, anyway, these things will be quick. So, so the Supreme Personality of Godhead 1.5.20. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is Himself, this cosmos, and still He is aloof from it. This is Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. From Him only has this cosmic manifestation emanated. In Him it rests, and unto Him it enters after annihilation. Your good self knows all about this. I have given only a synopsis. So here Narada Muni is basically telling Srila Vyasadeva that nothing is separate from the Supreme Lord. Only out of illusion we see, or out of illusion the conditioned souls think themselves separate from the Supreme Lord. But the energy is one and different. It's at the same time one and different from the Supreme Lord. So a pure devotee actually sees nothing as separate from the Supreme Lord. But we accept that matter is on all in all, and we are separate from the Supreme Lord. So you have to write this Bhagavatam to re-establish the principle that we are all part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, that we are not separate from Him. So that's pretty much it's amazing. It's a very nice purport, but you can read it at your leisure. Prabhupada gives a lot of examples in the purport, you know, how it is different, we are all part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, and how the Supreme Lord, we are all connected to the Supreme Lord, what are the different kinds of energies, and how everything is actually, in one sense, Supreme Lord. So we have to understand it through Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. Is that clear? I mean, I am sure most of you would have read this Bhagavad Gita again and again, right? In the 9th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, especially where Krishna says, I am everything, but I am not there, yet I am aloof. Like that. So it's Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. So when Krishna says, I am everything, which means that He identifies Himself with the energy. Energy and the energetic are one. When He says, I am aloof from it, then it is the, He is different. He is talking in the sense of difference from the energy. And the energetic as different, like that. So nothing is separate from the Lord. So Narada Muni is, you know, encouraging Srila Vyasadeva to write this great text so that people can actually perceive their own position and the different position of this material world in relation to the Supreme Lord, like that. The next verse. So your goodness has perfect vision. You yourself can know the Supreme Personality of Godhead because you are present as a plenary portion of the Lord. Although you are birthless, you appeared on this earth for the well-being of all people. Please therefore describe the transcendental pastime of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, more vividly. Now he is, again another verse glorifying Srila Vyasadeva. Basically, he describes Vyasadeva as an empowered plenary incarnation who has come for delivering the fallen souls. And of course, Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport that actually Vyasadeva didn't need, you know, because he is an empowered incarnation, he didn't have to have a spiritual master. But to set an example by his own conduct, he actually accepts Srila Vyasadeva, Narada Muni, as his spiritual master, like that. But of course, what is his goal? Is to deliver the fallen souls who are separated from the loving devotional service of the Lord. So let's read the next word. We'll read the Sanskrit. Idam hi pumshas tapasa sukatasya cha buddhi vita avichyatam So learned circles have positively concluded that the infallible purpose of the advancement of knowledge, namely austerity, study of the Vedas, sacrifice, chanting of the hymns, charity, culminates in the transcendental description of the Lord, who is defined in choice poetry. So the culmination of all these things, it culminates in the transcendental description of the Supreme Lord. So Prabhupada writes in the purport that the virtuous deeds, like sacrifice, charity, austerity, studies, they are all meant to gradually lead one to the Lord and his service. Of course, these are, if that goal is not obtained, then one gets the pious credits for doing all those things. And that is a gradual method, right? That's a gradual method, which again, it's a whole thing we covered already, which encourages self-centered pleasure, and people will be confused, right? But the only thing, if it comes to the point of Krishna Katha, right, comes to the point of understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His glories and His activities, then all those activities are successful, because only with Krishna Katha it is possible to break the attraction for mundane enjoyment. All the other activities will not necessarily lead us out of the attraction for the mundane enjoyment, but only Krishna Katha has the potency to do that. Because we know the Bhagavad Gita verse, right? Vedeshu yengeshu tapasu chaiva daneshu yat punya phalam pradishtam atyeti tat sarvam idam viditva yogi paramsthana upaiti chatyam. Person who accepts the path of devotional service is not bereft of the results derived from studying the Vedas, performing sacrifice, undergoing austerities, giving charity, or pursuing the philosophical and fruitive activities. Simply by performing devotional service, he attains all these, and at the end he reaches the supreme eternal abode. Like that. So devotional service is the goal, is the end goal. And people taking to devotional service directly, which is the means and the goal, they are not bereft of the benefits of going through all these different phases of the Vedic literature, like that. Now, ultimately, so Narada Muni is now telling that anyway, doing all these things, they have to come to Krishna Katha only. So write Krishna Katha. Now you've written all those things, now please write about the transcendental glories of the Supreme Lord in this great literature called Srimad Bhagavatam. Like that. Hare Krishna. Yeah, we'll just have 5-10 minutes for the questions.